of Sydney, everyday me and you. The Good News and Shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good News in Shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
I'm supposed to start?
There we go.
Now I'm supposed to start. Pastor Dave here, he's in the new mode of running the radio station, being the producer extraordinaire. And are you still in training, or have you been trained yet?
Well, I think we're all in training, no matter how old we are, how long we've been here.
Is that a bit of philosophy?
It is philosophical.
Yeah.
You know that.
It's always something new.
Is your nickname Plato or Socrates? You know?
Empty plate.
Empty plate.
Yeah.
This is the Team Martech Hour. I am Joe Martech. I'm a financial advisor, also called a stockbroker, security principal for many, many, many years. Been doing these radio shows since around 2004, even though we don't remember exactly when. We know it was before the hurricanes Francis and Jean hit, so we're using that as our official start. And the concept is simple. Joe Martech's a financial advisor with lots of clients here, meaning in Florida, and also in 13 other states because of referrals and people move, etc. But if you are, in my opinion, a credible professional, you have to align yourself with other credible professionals if you're going to help your clients. Because clients, if they trust you with their money, they're going to come back and say, help me with real estate, with taxes, with insurance, with mortgages, with legal. And there's no way in the world you can do all these things. So, in my opinion, the best professionals that I personally know align themselves with other credible professionals in order to help their clients. So, what this program is about is helping people, and it's just that simple. And we got a couple of subjects we're going to talk about. One, we're going to talk about reverse mortgages.
Ooh,
because
nice.
Pastor Dave, he's still in the learning process.
Ah, so we have to bring you up to speed on reverse mortgages?
Yeah, we're going to teach him about reverse. I already taught him a bit,
nice.
but he's got a short memory, so I'm going to teach him again because his wife is a bit. Does she listen to this show?
She may be listening now, but I can't.
You should have called her and told her to listen because I'm going to talk about reverse mortgages.
Well, I'm just going to repeat what you said, and she trusts me.
Are you going to remember all that?
She trusts you. Wow.
Yeah. Wait a minute. This is a wife, and she trusts you?
Yeah.
Is she a bit naive?
Well, after the medication. Well, she's a lovely lady. She doesn't always.
That was a good recovery, Dave. That was good. Speaking of which, before I talk about that, I was also talking about religion.
Oh,
not necessarily religion. When I got married some years ago, 1982, I married a good country girl. All her family was South Georgia, North Florida. And she said, Joe, I got one favor to ask you. She said, I want to go to church. We need to go to church. And I said, no problem. Now, Vincenzo Rosino and Joe Martech here were raised in a very traditional Catholic church. And I mean, go to Mass 6 days a week, Catholic church. I'm paid ahead 3,114 Masses, as the way I counted.
You paid forward, huh?
Paid forward.
Good.
So, you know, what we're used to with the Catholic Church was pretty much traditional stuff. It wasn't much emotion, right?
No, we not had a lot of emotion.
We had to learn Latin, which we didn't learn anything, but we knew how to say the words.
It caused us to sleep a lot through
Mass. It caused us to sleep a lot through Masses, and we had to go to Mass every morning before school, and, you know, and our knees hurt all the time because they didn't have padded kneelers back then. You remember those days?
That's right, I do.
I mean, they were wood.
It hurt. Yeah, it was wood.
You know, this is part of the punishment thing. So then I said, okay, but I get to pick the church. Now, she was going to, now I'm not trying to denigrate anything, but a very charismatic church, very charismatic. Now, us Catholics have a hard time, you know, rolling down in the aisle. I didn't want to carry snakes around. And I just was having a hard time with the charismatic churches. So we went to a few different ones, and I said, I can't handle that. The music is great. It's really good, but I can't do that. So we ended up at Calvary Baptist Church in downtown Clearwater. Calvary Baptist Church. And the pastor there, now, and I say this without reservation, was the most talented person I have ever met in my entire life. He was brilliant. He also was a Billy Graham clone. He was a handsome devil, 6'3" or 6'4", Texan, handsome guy. He knew every single person in that church by name. He had over 3,000 people a week coming to Sunday school.
Wow.
Monster church. Hmm. On TV, the whole thing. I mean, a monster congregation. The church paid, gave him this beautiful, magnificent home on the water and paid him big money. I mean, he was top of his game. And he earned every second of it. I'm telling you, he was a working man. Mm. So we're going to church, and I'm really getting into this because you can't believe this. They were teaching.
Wow.
And I actually, he would say.
Was it teaching scripture, Joe?
Can you believe that? Wow. Teaching scripture. So I'm there, and I don't have a Bible the first couple of times we go there, and he looks at me and he says, "You need to get a Bible, boy." Now, you know how it is in most of these churches. The neighbor next to you right away will give you their Bible, and they're there to help you.
That's right.
Make this conversion.
That's appropriate.
And they could look at me and they said, you know, that's a Catholic kid. You know, he's not too bright. So
exactly.
So
I'm not giving him my Bible.
So anyway, we're going, and I'm, you know, I tell you what, the magic of this church was you'd walk out and you were happy. You actually had a rush, and the way he would preach. He would say, okay, class, pay attention. We're going to learn something today. Open your Bible to this. And then he would go into the Greek and then interpret it and show that it could be three different ways of interpreting. And then anyway, very much a teacher. Very much a teacher. And not condescending at all. He was very, 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 he was an excellent teacher. So 2 months, I don't know how long goes by. And one Sunday afternoon, I get this phone call. It was like, 4, 5, 6. I don't know what time it was. In the evening, maybe. And I answer the phone. I always answer the phone. Joe Martek, always have. And he says, Bill Anderson here. I says, Bill Anderson. I said, I know two. One's a country singer and one's a preacher. He says, well, I can't sing. Some things you never forget. He says, listen, Joe, I'm about 3 blocks away from you and I want to come visit. I said, okay, come on over, Bill. So I hang up the phone, and my wife says, who's that? And I said, Bill Anderson, pastor, you know, Calvary Baptist Church. And she goes, so what's he want? He's on his way over. He'll be here in 5 minutes. She goes, holy mackerel, hide the scotch, put some clothes on, you know, quick. And I said, no. I'm in my shorts and T-shirt, and this is my house. No. And I'm not hiding the scotch because this is who I am. So he comes in, and he's dressed pretty much Pastor Dave like you are today, pretty casual. Because Sunday, you know, he's visiting people. He's not shirt and tie or anything. He's casual. Comes in, we sit at the kitchen table, you know, which is the norm, right, when you have family and stuff like that. And he's talking to me, and he says, Joe, I've been watching you. And I said, yeah, really? He goes, yeah. He said, you're just about ready. And I said, ready for what?
You're just about ready.
Ready for what? He said, you're about ready to openly profess your faith, and you're going to walk in front of our whole crowd, and you're going to profess it in front of everybody, and then the week after that, I'm going to dunk you in a tank and baptize you in front of everybody. And I said, really? He goes, yeah. And I said, it's one question. I said, is the water warm? He said, most of the time.
Is the water warm?
He says, because I have to go in there with you, and I don't like cold water. Because he goes in up to his waist.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, you know, he doesn't like cold water either. Anyway, so a couple weeks go by, and I walk down the aisle, openly profess my faith in Jesus Christ. I am now, quote, an almost born-again Christian. Then the next week,
save the dunking.
Save the dunking. The next week, I get dunked, and I'm telling you what, he's pretty good at it. And he slaps you right down in the water, dunks your whole head underwater, and doesn't leave you down very long, which I was a bit worried about. I thought my wife might have paid him an extra $20 to hold me down for a minute. And I came out of that experience that it's something I will never, ever, ever get over, not in a negative sense, for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when you and I were raised, and I read that Bible up one side, down the other, Old Testament, New Testament as a kid, and I did a ton.
I never did that.
Then I went to an all-boys Jesuit prep school, and you had to memorize or we kill you. I mean, you know, this is. Anyway, I just want people to know that listen to this show that Joe Martek might sound a bit irreverent from time to time, but I had one of my clients that actually came from WCNO. I meet him regularly. Great guy. And I said, you know, I hope Jesus has a sense of humor. And he says, Joe, you know he has a sense of humor. How could he put up with you otherwise?
That's right. That is true.
So,
hallelujah.
There you go. So anyway, I just want people to know that this experience, if you haven't done it, can be very, very life-changing. And the concept, Vince, when you and I were babies, we were baptized, because that's what you're supposed to do. Well, the concept of being born again is to do this consciously in front of everybody, front of everybody. And I know you're a born-again Christian. You're as strong as there is. You're a biblical scholar, so to speak, because you really
I'm not a scholar, but I've studied Bible.
You're pretty strong at it. But I will tell you, it's one of those experiences that if you do this, it will make you. Oh no, it won't make you a better husband. Forget that part.
Gee, my wife would really like that, I guess.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. But wait, you know, Dave, I know you have done this. You have, I'm sure, dunked a few people in your day.
Oh yeah,
and
sprinkled as well.
And I'm sure you have noticed a change in some of these people.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've talked to many, 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 many Christians over the years, and the ones that I most admire personally are ones that don't preach at everybody that walks, but on ones that walk the walk.
Right.
You know, they're just good people.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't need to brag and they don't need to preach. They just are good people. They're there to help people go through life. And it's really an admirable quality.
Absolutely.
Okay, this is a talk show, and I'm not the only one supposed to talk.
Right.
So you can call 1-888-221-8990 from any place. That's a toll-free number, 888-221-8990. And what we have here, besides Pastor Dave, who doesn't know much, who knows
all the important things.
He knows him.
I keep a measure of ignorance.
You keep him. I like that.
I keep many measures.
You know, everybody is ignorant until the day you die. You can't learn. You know what's an interesting thing? And Vince and I, not in exactly the same businesses, but Vince is a CPA and he's a forensic CPA. He's got credentials up the yin yang. But it just seems like every day or at least once a week, something comes along down the pike that you don't know.
Of course.
It just never ends.
Especially when it comes to tax law, Joe. It changes, it's complex, and not every situation is cookie cutter.
No.
Everything's a little different, so you got tons of questions. Sometimes the clients get a little annoyed at you because you ask a lot of questions, but you need to do that.
Well, here's what you're trying to do. You're trying to help people. There's two ways to look at taxes. One is legal, which is tax avoidance. One is illegal, called tax evasion.
Right.
So your job is to avoid paying taxes to the best of your ability to keep these people legal with the law and do what's right.
And I tell them they don't look very good in stripes.
No. You know, you don't go to jail for not paying, but you can go to jail for lying on your taxes.
And you know, it's interesting, Joe. I don't know if it's the Christians out there or what, but I get a lot of calls from people who haven't filed taxes in years, and they're coming forward now and saying they want to take that weight off their shoulders because they're worried about it.
Talk about this for 5 minutes, because people are scared to death that if they finally do it, that they're going to go to jail immediately. But the Internal Revenue.
Let me disabuse the audience to that notion. It's not true.
Yeah.
The IRS would be more than happy to have you become legal, and you can negotiate any penalties that are associated with that. But if you owe tax, you owe tax. You're going to pay tax, and you're probably going to pay interest too. But the penalties, you'd be able to negotiate those. But the thing is, what I've found in most cases, Joe, the people that haven't filed, they have refunds coming. This is the strangest
thing. Isn't that the same strangest
thing? This is the strangest thing. I mean, they haven't filed their returns. And unfortunately for those that haven't filed in 3 years, like they're 3 years late, they're barred from claiming refunds.
Yep. But how far back can you go?
Well, you can file. Well, if you had never filed a return, the statute of limitations, it runs forever. It starts when you file, and then they have 3 years to audit you.
But what I'm trying to say is this. Let's say I skipped 3 years.
Yes.
And I didn't file.
You didn't file.
But I have money coming back for each of those 3 years. And right. Now I come to you, and you're going to file amended returns.
No, we file the returns. It's 3 years from the date the due dates of the return. So let's say, like this is April. We're filing 16.
Right.
So you could file
16, 15, 14. And you might get refunds.
You might get refund for those 3 years.
But if it's 10 years.
You file. But if they owe you money,
you're not going to get it except for the last 3 years.
Exactly.
So, and in fact, I've had numerous questions over the years from people who say, Joe, should I file? And I said, let me ask you a question. Did you earn any money this year? Yes, I did. Did you have taxes withheld from that? Yes, I did. And I said, well, then the odds are really good you should file, because if you want to try to get some money back, if you don't file, you don't get it back.
And that's the thing about the refunds.
Yeah.
Some of the people, they have enough offsets, like right. exemptions and right. standard deductions right. to offset whatever income they have. So when you owe no tax, whatever they've withheld, you get back.
Now, there's also people that have earned income credits. Let's say you're a single mom or dad, and you have two or three children, and nobody else is paying support. Sometimes you can get thousands of dollars back and not have paid in any money.
That's what's called refundable taxes, Joe. And I think it's an interesting term for it, refundable. The reason why it's refundable is for the reason you just stated. If you never even paid a nickel in,
right.
if you're entitled to those credits, they'll right. pay you. So you didn't pay in, but they'll pay you.
Yeah.
Those are rare. There's a few. Earned income credit is one of them. There's a couple.
So what happens is there's reasons to file. Now, here comes something. I had some criticism from a listener. Now, listen carefully, listener. I said, sometimes you don't have to file if your income is below a certain threshold.
Right.
And let's say you have a husband and wife, and they're only collecting Social Security, and they have no other income.
I would say, well, if Social Security is the only income you have, you fall below the threshold for filing.
Okay.
So you wouldn't file. Unless, of course, they withheld taxes from your Social Security, which some people might do.
Why?
Like, say the circumstance changed. I mean, 1 year they owed taxes, the next year they
had
more income.
They might have withheld it to pay the taxes.
Exactly. And maybe they didn't tell the Social Security Administration to stop withholding.
There you go.
So they continue to withhold.
But under normal circumstances.
Normal circumstances, no. You wouldn't file because there's nothing there to claim, and you don't have to file.
No. Anyway, so there are thresholds. Now, I don't know them exactly, but each individual person has different criteria.
Yes. Depends if you're single. It's about $4,900. If you're married filing joint, it's about 11,000. There's thresholds all along. There's married filing separate, which is about half of the married joint filing. So they're all different depending on your status. There's different filing requirements.
To file, even if it's all zeros, you know, a lot of people are in such a habit of filing that they hate to quit, and I don't blame them.
Yeah, I accept that.
File all zeros is fine.
I had a client this weekend. I think we both even know who this client is, and she doesn't have to file.
But?
Because the income wasn't there. The threshold wasn't met.
It's called no reason to file. Now, again, people
But that's hard for people to get their head around it if they've been doing it their whole lives.
Exactly. And, you know, now I can, first of all, this person you're talking about knows me too well, and a woman that trusts a man is rare. So especially if they're close. Any other man except the one that's close to them, they might trust, but not the one that they're close to. Anyway, these are rules. No, don't ask questions. These are just the rules. Anyway, I just thought we needed to share that with people. So
yeah.
Now,
and don't be afraid. And I have another client. In fact, somebody you referred, Joe, to me, and she hadn't filed in a while. And guess what? She's got money coming.
There you go. But she's a happy camper now.
Well, she will be when I meet with her next week.
1-888-221-8990. So Vince Rizzino, CPA, is sitting right here. And I tell you, if you got questions on taxes, this is the time of year when they come up. And any question, there's no such thing as a dumb question. You know, the word ignorance means I haven't learned it yet. That's all it means.
Technical term is absence of knowledge, Joe. That's ignorance.
You know, you look a bit like you're absent of knowledge.
I am. I've been absent a lot of knowledge. But you know what? I'm always learning, Joe. Every day.
This is not a pretty picture, but it is the truth. You know, as long as you're learning, you're that means you're not fried yet. On the other hand, if you learn it today and forget it tomorrow, you may have to learn it again.
Well, but here's the thing, Joe. If you're a professional, or even if you're just somebody who's studious, you know where to go to get the answers. And that's the more important thing.
There you go.
You don't have to memorize this all. I mean, what the heck? That's why they have books, research materials. I don't need to
You mean you don't know all 70,000 pages by heart?
76,000, I don't know them. No.
And they'll never make a movie on it, so.
Heck no.
Yeah.
No.
1-888-221-8990. Now we're going to come up to a new subject.
Uh-oh.
And we have talked about this in the past, but...
Oh, can I bring one more thing up before you move on to another subject?
Why don't you bring up one more thing before I move?
Because this is important. I had two clients recently who were concerned about getting a 1099-C for cancellation of indebtedness because they had their foreclosure. The house was foreclosed.
Right, right.
And I had to assure them that if it was their residence and their homestead, that they don't have that concern for 2016. So... Don't be afraid.
Explain that again.
Well, your personal residence, they rolled it over another year, where if you have cancellation of indebtedness, meaning that it was foreclosed, they had a balance due on your mortgage.
Right.
Under normal circumstances.
They forgive.
They forgive it, and then when they forgive it, it's income to you.
Yeah. So don't get it foreclosed in 17. Get it foreclosed in 16.
16, yeah.
Kind of late now.
Yeah. But go back and do that. No, but the point is, if you did get one, and they'll be getting them now, some people get nervous. I get a lot of calls like that. What do I do with this?
When they get a thing in the mail that looks official from the government, even though they don't, there's little boxes, people very often don't read the little boxes that say there's no tax due. You know, it's just a notification.
Or they just see numbers on a form and they say, whoa, what do I do with this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Interesting. They got something else coming up, too, I want to mention before you move on. Talking about Medicare.
Yeah.
Just real brief. They had a blurb came out to the practitioners about how the hospitals, beginning March 7th of this year, are going to be compelled to moon you, they said. Moon you. Moon is an acronym for something. It's a notification to you, if you're on Medicare, that if you're being admitted to a hospital for observation only, and you can get admitted for observation only. It doesn't fall under Part A of Medicare.
No kidding.
It's a Part B coverage, and it means you got a copay.
It means you got to pay the hospital bill.
You got to pay like 20% of the hospital bill.
Unless
you have supplements.
No. Medicare, Part A, has like a $700 or $800 deductible, then they pay the whole hospital bill.
Right.
You don't need a supplement for that.
Right, but I'm saying Part B,
Part B is only doctors. Part B is only doctors.
Well, then you know what? You're going to be getting
pay the whole, if Medicare denies the hospital bill, I mean, it could be $100,000.
Yeah, easy.
So you got to be careful with
it. So a lot of people are getting burned, Joe, so now the hospitals are getting forced to notify you.
Well, let me just tell you this,
folks. You're getting admitted as an observation.
Well, you just file this away, and you tell your doctor, no way in the world I'm going in for observation. I'm going in there for...
Or diagnosis. Yeah,
right. We don't know what you're going in for except a vacation. No, that doesn't work. You got
to
have it.
But that's interesting, and I think a lot of people fell trapped to that.
Well, and they could.
Because they didn't know.
Because it isn't a doctor's job necessarily to inform you about the legalities or the intricacies of Medicare, so you can't really blame them blatantly, but I would, because if I'm going to be the guy that's going to get paid for putting you in there, and I'm just putting you in there because I have nothing else, I can't stand you anymore, and I want you out of my office, that's not good. You got to make sure.
Well, it's a fair assumption if they're admitting you to a hospital, you that you're an inpatient. But to get admitted as an outpatient doesn't compute.
What's the difference then between, let's say you go in through the ER, you have an injury or something.
That's different. They admit you then. I guess you're actually getting admitted.
But they might want to stay overnight.
But you have a situation.
Yeah.
That you have pain, they may have to operate, they may have to put you on IVs, they don't know what the diagnosis is, but you're in there to find out what the problem is. I don't know the exact wording, but the key is this. When anybody that knows they're going into a hospital, talk to the doctor and just say, explain to me how Medicare may not pay under Part A of my Medicare if you don't enter this properly into the code system. Because everything Medicare does is based on a number. There's a code to it.
So,
1-888-221-8990. That's an important one.
Well, I thought I wanted to get that in, Joe, because I just came across it yesterday. They put this out to all the CPAs out there.
Now it starts in March.
March 7th.
Well, hey, if they, you know, I mean, there's some people that are habitual complainers, and they always think they're sick, and they're going to go in to see the doctor. So we have, is this what we have as a question? We had the gorgeous Karen came in all of a sudden and brought this in. It was so nice when Karen is here, if Dave wasn't here and Pastor Tom, because we'd have somebody good to look at. But
gee, you're flirting and you're making her blush, Joe.
I know. Yeah, but she's used to me. She ignores me all the time. If you are married, can you file single as if you are not married?
The short answer, no. When you're married, you've got two options. You marry jointly or you file married separately. But you can't file as a single person. No.
So you file as a separate entity, married.
Married, separate.
Uh-huh. But you can't file that you're not married if you are married.
Correct.
Now, can you divorce them for a couple months?
Sure.
And then file
your tax,
a single?
Your tax status is determined on the last day of the year. So on December 31st.
If you are married.
You're married, you're married.
You can
file.
You're
divorced, you're divorced.
Yeah. You can file as married, filing single.
There is no married filing single. It's either married separate or married joint. Those are your two options.
Okay, married separate.
The married separate or married joint.
So it's you're married. If the word single, take that word
single
out of the vocabulary.
Single is somebody who's unmarried.
It's unmarried. They're gotcha. Single. Okay. Well, that's good to know, too. So she can file by herself. She doesn't have to file with her husband, but she has to file that she is married.
And then, by the way, Joe, that's very... sometimes it's very advantageous. No, it's not abnormal, because many times a spouse may be a business person.
Right.
Maybe they're having their own problems with their business.
Right.
They're afraid they're going to get infected, you know, like they're going to get fleas.
Sure, sure.
So in order to protect themselves, and I advise my clients to do this, you file separate, married right. separate. Now, there are some disadvantages to it, because you don't get all the tax breaks.
Right.
It may push you into higher bracket sooner
right,
by
right,
firing
right.
Separate, but it protects you from the liability of your spouse.
So here's where that question comes up. If you have a good CPA, and let me just, how do I phrase this gently? I can't. If you go to a tax preparer that might have gone to 3 weeks of school to become a tax preparer, sometimes they can do very simple returns, but if they get complicated, normally they will turn it over to a professional, and now all of a sudden that $25 or $35 one could become quite a bit more because they got to pay the professional. So literally, when I use the word CPA, Certified Public Accountant, that's a person that has earned the credentials to be an expert in this field, and they are the ones that you should ask these questions to find it, which is you, Vincent.
Well, you know, you used that term before, Joe, about ignorance. Well,
yeah.
That's the case. You know, a lot of times, if you don't have the experience or you don't have the training,
yeah.
It's not their fault. You only
no.
know what you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, you just don't, if you don't know to tell them because you never experienced it, you didn't train for it, nothing, then, you know, your conscience is clear, but you didn't do the right thing by your client.
Did you just listen to him, Dave?
Mm.
Did he sound like my cousin Vinny? I was looking.
Great movie. By
I way. Was looking for the Utes.
Utes.
The Utes.
Oh, yeah, Utes. You remember that?
I remember
it. That had to be one of the greatest lines of all times. When you see that movie,
what did you say?
What are Utes?
What's a Ute?
And that was the guy, Fred Gwynn, played that role, the judge, Fred Gwynn.
Fred Gwynn.
Yeah,
it was the last movie he did. He died shortly thereafter.
He did a great job.
He was fantastic.
Playing a Southern judge without much of an accent, but cousin Vinny, Barry. What's a Ute?
What's a Ute?
1-888-221-8990. So now we're going to talk about a subject that Pastor Dave brought up,
okay.
Which is called a reverse mortgage. And I'm going to paraphrase, get as close as I can, but Pastor Dave says, Joe, do you know anything about stuff like that? And I said, yes, I do. He said, my wife is really nervous about that. She's just really scared. She's worried about it. And I said, okay, let me give you the short version. And I'm going to do the short version right now. You have to be at least 62 years of age. Now, let's say a husband and wife. Whoever's the youngest of the two has to be at least 62.
Right.
Now, this is a government program. I don't care who you go to. I don't care which lender it is. The program is exactly the same. The expenses are the same. There is no variation, no matter who does it. Now, our guy Mike Polis does such things. And why would you use Mike Polis here in Palm City as opposed to somebody on TV? Well, Mike, because Mike's here. You can meet, talk, touch. You got somebody local. No matter what it is.
It's I don't know the touch part, Joe, but the rest of it is
well,
sure.
He'll shake your hand, whatever. Okay. Anyway, so the next part of it is this. What are the negatives of a reverse mortgage? Well, there's fees.
Yes.
There's closing costs. They're not cheap, but no such thing as a mortgage that's free anyway. I don't care what you do. What's the positive of a reverse mortgage? The positive is you're never going to make a payment on the house. No mortgage payment, no principal or interest. Now, what's that do for you? So I just used an example for Pastor Dave. I said, let's say your house is worth $200,000 and it's paid for.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be paid for, but let's just say it is. And because he's only 62, he may only get $100,000 rather than the whole $200,000. Mm-hmm. The older you are, the higher the percentage the chart says you're allowed to borrow. They figure you're not going to live too long, so we'll give you more money. And I don't understand why, but that bottom line is...
Well, it's very simple, Joe. But they figure the older you are, the less exposure they have because you have a certain lifespan.
You're going to die soon.
You're going to die.
Okay. So anyway...
Soon.
Maybe. So anyway, let's say he gets $100,000.
Right.
That is tax-free money. Now, minus expenses that you got to pay for the cost of getting a mortgage, but it's now tax-free money. What can you do with that money? Anything you want. You can spend it. You can travel. You can. I had an exact client, lady in downtown Fort Pierce, old woman in her 80s, lived in that same house for 50 years, never had air conditioning.
Hmm.
Can you imagine living in Florida without air conditioning? She got a reverse mortgage in order to get air conditioning. That was the happiest old lady you have ever seen in your whole life. Because she couldn't afford to make a payment, but she didn't have to. Now, so the rules of the reverse mortgage are they will give you money to pay off your bills, to pay off the mortgage, whatever it might be.
Whatever you want to do. Take a trip.
Do whatever you want. It's your money.
Whatever you want to do. It's your money.
And let's just say... they give you $100,000, but you say, I don't need the 100. All I want is 50. Okay, fine. We'll give you a line of credit for the other 50. You don't need to use it like a credit card. And on the 50 you don't take, they'll pay you some interest. This is really a neat thing. So you can actually put money in this account can grow with some interest on. And then you can use that anytime you want, like a line of credit. And you don't have to make a payment on it. But again, this is your... this is your window of money. Can be whatever the loan amount is, up to 100 or 200, pick a number, whatever you qualify for. Then, what other negatives are there? Well, one of these days you might die. Can you imagine that? In fact, forget the word might. One of these days you will. And the rules are, when you leave that house, you have to either pay off the mortgage or the bank's going to take it. So let's use a real, real, real example.
They'll take it, Joe, but it's not their house. What they do is they sell it, and they have to remit the difference between the mortgage and what they get for the house.
If there's any equity. So I got a client that has since died, and they lived up in a condo up in Fort Pierce. And during the height of the market, that condo got up to $170,000 in value. Now, they paid $40,000 for it. So they now got a reverse mortgage for $100,000+, $125,000 they got. And then all of a sudden the market collapses and the house is only worth $40,000 or $50,000 now again. And one died and the other one had to move out. And they said, Joe, what should I do? And I said, hey, the law says very simply that you don't have to make a payment. Nobody has to make a payment. There is no liability to anybody. The bank will take that property back. And like Vinny said, if they sell it for more than you owe, they will pay you the difference. Well, I guarantee you they didn't sell it for more because
in that case,
market was low. But there is no legal, moral responsibility because it's an insured mortgage by the government. So literally, I've seen people just change their lives. I had another one. Boyfriend, girlfriend, two old people living across the street from each other. She had money, he didn't. He was embarrassed because he didn't want her buying. They wanted to go out to dinner and he wanted to travel. He couldn't stand the concept of her paying. He got a reverse mortgage, put $50,000 in his pocket. He now could afford to take her to dinner and a couple of trips before he died.
That's called spending down your children or your
your children's inheritance.
Inheritance.
Yeah. So
that's sounds like a good plan to me.
So here comes the negative. And people worry about this today, even though none of us inherited a dime. You know, a generation or two ago, parents didn't leave any money. Today, every parent wants to leave their kids rich, which is, I don't understand it, but that's just the way it is. So what you're going to do is, the kids may not end up with an inheritance from that house. But let's just take Pastor Dave, and he's got this $200,000 house today, and he gets that $100,000 loan. Well, the loan might add 5% a year in interest. But the house may go up 5% a year, too. Well, 5% of $200,000 is more than 5% of $100,000. So the kids may still end up with an inheritance if you die 10 years from now, because the house could be worth $300,000, and they may owe $200,000.
The flip side is true too, Joe. I mean, if you mortgaged for $100,000 and now the house is worth $80,000,
yeah,
you're forgiven for the other $20,000. The bank takes it.
There is no liability.
There's no liability.
So the kids don't have to worry about selling it. They have to worry about nothing. All I would do, assuming, let's say one of your kids called me and said, "Hey, Pastor Dave, my dad is gone. Got this reverse mortgage. It says here to call you when he dies. So I'm calling you. What am I supposed to say?" And I'll say, "Well, your dad wanted to make sure that you guys got your inheritance if there was any, so we need to get your house appraised. How much does it cost for an appraisal?" "Well, $300-$400. We'll get it. You can go get it appraised, and that'll tell you what it's worth if it's worth trying to sell it in order to pay off the mortgage so you kids can get some money. But if there is no equity, no reason to do it, you let the bank just take it." And
right.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, right. This is exactly what that system was designed to do.
And by the way, from a tax point of view, Joe, remember all that interest that you didn't pay?
Yeah.
But when the mortgage is paid off,
that's a deduction.
You got an interest deduction.
Yeah.
That could be a lot of money.
And you're not only getting equity money, but you're also not paying in a payment.
No.
So if you have good saving skills,
yeah,
then you're adding to your wealth.
Yeah, you add to your wealth, of course. Yeah.
No doubt.
Then you go see Joe.
So the key is this, and I have had people do that. Yeah. You know, I've had people, well, you know, there's certain contracts that have a guaranteed 5 or 6% income, and they got a reverse mortgage that was paying 2 or 3, that charged 2 or 3 at the time. Mm-hmm. Well, then all of a sudden, they got the money that they have more income, and they're not touching the principal. They're living off of the interest income or the guaranteed income. So there's all kinds of ways to look at it. So what you do is, first you say, "Hey, let me research it." And a guy like Mike Paulus can research and tell you what you qualify for immediately. Then after that, then you can talk taxes to Vince. You can talk investment to Joe. I mean, the whole picture needs to get put together.
It opens up a whole lot of options.
But point is, it works. It can work magnificently. Now, it's not for everybody, but we'll talk about that in 1 minute. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, Joe. You guys are doing a great job. Thank you. Sorry, not to sound like I am bashing you. I had to put that in first because that's true. However, I'm driving and I hear you guys talking about reverse mortgage, and my personal opinion is that it's a ripoff. Because when people, and this is my experience that I've had, when my mother got to a certain age, she never asked anyone for any reverse mortgage. And people kept hounding her to get a reverse mortgage. I've seen people who have done this thing not understanding it because they don't get much information. And then when they pass, they have lost what could have been an inheritance to some family member. I really do not think reverse mortgage in most instances give any help to the person except the government or whomever gives them this mortgage. And I really don't like how it's being sold.
Well, stay with me for just a minute. If your mom had a house that was paid for, and they gave her, let's say, half of the value of the house.
What was paid for?
Okay.
What was paid for? She had a mortgage.
Okay, so they paid off the mortgage. So she no longer had to make a payment.
Right.
Okay, so
right.
Now.
When she died, the house could sell. The house was sold.
I understand.
But my point is, they kept hounding her.
Who's they? Who's they?
A reverse mortgage.
Well, somebody.
Whoever these people were. These people were.
Somebody wanted to sell her a reverse mortgage. Now,
Yes. Let
me tell you something else, and maybe you don't know, or maybe you do. Before a person can get a reverse mortgage, they have to go counseling from an outside party, which is a government employee, to make sure they understand exactly, and they almost always suggest if there's any family members involved, then family members need to sit on this counseling so that everybody understands. If that did not happen with you and your mom, that was wrong. They should have had a counseling session. And the counseling session should have included her children if the children were available. So I'm saying.
Right. You know what I had to do? I had to take the phone from her one day and say, "We are not interested. Do not call back."
Well, okay, that worked. Then she never got a reverse mortgage.
Right.
Okay. It's the point I'm trying
to say. I know people who have done that. I've known people who that happened to. mom died, and now they have lost the house.
Well, and that's what's going to happen. But the point is, mom got the money, and she didn't have to make payments. So it's a catch-22. What happens when you die, if you owe more on the house than it's worth? What if you die if you got a regular mortgage on your house, and you die and your house is worth, you owe more than it's worth? You don't, you know, they're going to foreclose on it. But then the heirs get nothing. So a mortgage is a mortgage. Whether you make payments or don't make payments, it's a lien on the house, and that's all there is to it. Now, again, I'm agreeing with you 1,000%, and that's where I was going to go next. It is not for everybody. The key thing that people have to do is learn how it works, understand the expenses, understand what their liabilities are, and then they go through counseling on a third party outside of the mortgage people to make sure they understand, and then they have to sign and agree that they understand everything before they can get it. It's not an easy mortgage to get, even though you don't have to qualify normally because of credit or anything. You just have to have equity. But it's a sad thing that somebody chased your mom for this. They shouldn't have done that, but I'm glad you stepped in and told them to leave her alone, and that's, they should never have chased her.
Yeah. There's a lot of predatory lenders out there.
You made a good point when you don't understand it, because you're not on this kind of mortgage. When that refinancing thing too, that is never properly explained to the average person. My mom refinanced, and she had a 20-year. They told her to refinance. She took a 30-year, and she now was up in age. I mean, who would recommend that when she wasn't struggling to pay her mortgage?
Here comes again.
You see what I'm saying?
What happens is, mom probably should have had you with her all this time to help and counsel her, or somebody else in the family, because mom might have been taken advantage of because she was too nice a person or not knowledgeable enough. And that's always sad. It's always sad. But, you know, you and I both know, all four of us right now, the three of us sitting here and you there, there's always somebody out there that's going to take advantage of people, and you just have to be careful.
That's true.
I want to thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in, and I'm glad you brought it up.
Okay.
Have a wonderful day. You know, and there's what happens. And what happens, ignorance is back again. That means I don't understand and I don't know. But I will tell you, to get a reverse mortgage is not that easy. The counseling people have to go through.
And the banks want to make sure they're protected. So they'll do the credit checking. And it's not something you just
it's not an automatic. Overnight. No. All you have to have basically is you have to have equity in your house. And it basically is saying this. If I owe $100, the house is worth $200, maybe I'll just get it paid off and I won't have any payment. Well, if you were making a $1,000 a month payment, you just had $1,000 a month more in your pocket you don't have to spend. Yeah. Is that what you want? Is that your goal? So you have to understand your goal, what you're trying to accomplish.
And if you don't, you know, you might just be better off in some cases do a line of credit, Joe, rather than do the reverse mortgage.
Some cases you might be.
If you could afford it, or if you just need an extra pop, you need an extra pop now, but you can pay it back later, you know, those kinds of things.
All these things are variables that need to be looked at and explored. To make sure that it's in your best interest. You know, like Pastor Tom was talking about buying a house with a reverse mortgage, which you can do.
Yeah, absolutely. You can do whatever you want with the money. Yeah. They're doing, Joe, in the reverse is giving your money either all up front or giving it to you on a line of credit. But it's your money.
It's your
and
money.
The house is collateral, basically.
That's
it's
all.
A loan that the house is collateral, and you don't have to make
payments. It's that simple. If they did it on car loans, that means you can go drive the car and never make a payment. Exactly. Wouldn't that be nice?
Wouldn't that be nice?
Nobody's figured out how to do that yet.
Well, I got a question here from a caller, Joe. We should probably address this. Wants advice. If a spouse has no income at all in the tax year and she cashes in a 401k with no reinvestment of any of those funds, is the spouse stuck paying the taxes? Well, I assume that I'm reading this. I assume that either she's divorced or her husband passed or the spouse passed. Normally, the 401k, the taxes track to the beneficiary of the 401k. If it's your 401k,
then you
would pay the tax.
Yeah.
If you pass and then you give that money to a beneficiary, be it your spouse or your children or whoever, your cousins, they would be responsible for
the tax.
Right. If there's no beneficiary, the estate would pay the tax.
Now, what happens is, Vince, on a 401k, if I name a beneficiary, like it's my 401k,
spouse is alive and well. Well, then the answer is whoever's name that 401k was in and they took the distribution under their name, they would get that reported under their social to the IRS.
Not the person that died, the one that inherited.
Well, she said that the spouse didn't die.
Yeah. Well, but the one that did.
But if the spouse dies, yeah. the ones that inherit the money, yeah. they would be responsible.
Uncle says they want their money, the taxes, period. Now, is there a difference between an IRA and a 401k? In other words, here's the question. We're married, you and I. This is not a pretty picture, but let's just say we are.
God, Joe.
And I know. It's not looking good. But you have a 401k. Okay. And you die. Mm-hmm. And I'm your name beneficiary, and I'm your spouse.
Right.
Does that not become my 401k under the same rules as an IRA?
Yes, a spousal IRA is different. It's a different animal because, and there are special rules for this. If the spouse was starting to collect on their
annuity, let's say they never collected,
then you inherit the IRA. They set it up as an inherited IRA. You could spread it out over your lifetime.
Here's what happened. It's the exact same rules, whether it's an IRA or a 401k. Now, what I was leading to was this. So, husband and wife. Husband has a 401k. Husband dies, and it's now the wife's 401k, which is now going to be called an IRA, an individual retirement account. It will roll over from husband, who's deceased, to the wife, and now it's hers. Now, let's assume he was not over age 70 and one half
so
and
wasn't
had never taken any money.
Okay.
She now inherits it, and now the government says, based on her age, she will have to take a required minimum distribution every single year out over the lifespan that's projected. Over hers. And the normal rule is this, and I'm going to give you generalities. When you turn 70 and one half, it's roughly 4% of what's in the account. On December 31st, you're supposed to take out in the next 12 months. When you turn 90, if you're not dead, you have to take out roughly 10% of the value of that account. And each year, that a percentage goes up until you're 115 and you take your last dollar because you're supposed to be dead by then. Point I'm trying to say is you can inherit the 401k if you're a spouse or a blood relative child. And then it becomes that person's IRA at their age. Now, where Vince was going to go with this, let's say this person that died was 72.
Right.
And they've been taking distributions for 2 years. And let's say there is no spouse, but there are children, blood children that are 50. Mm-hmm. That blood child has to take a distribution, just assuming that dad was still alive.
On the same schedule. Joe,
same schedule.
Identical. So you can't lengthen it.
No.
You have to step into the shoes of the person that was taking those distributions.
And this is often called a beneficial IRA. And I've had this happen numerous occasions where a parent would die and it would go to the child, but the parent was 75 or 80. That child has to keep taking a distribution as if dad was still alive.
Right.
So, but these are the rules. But the reality is this. The key with a 401k or whatever it might be, the rules are basically the same. If you take money out before age 59 and a half, you pay a penalty plus tax.
Right.
If you don't take money out when you turn 70 and one half, under rare circumstances, you have to take it out starting at 70 and a half. If you don't, the penalty, I think, is the most severe on the tax code.
It is the most severe, Joe. It's 50%.
Yeah, so it's pretty severe.
Of the distribution.
So literally, everybody I know takes the distribution.
Yes.
Because, I mean, hey, who wants to have a 50% penalty? So then again, you die, and you're taking distributions from your IRA, and you leave it to a spouse or a child, if you had been taking money out, they have to keep taking money out as if you're still alive under your schedule. Mm-hmm. If you had not taken money out, you're prior to age 70 and a half, then it becomes your age, whatever it is, that's your IRA.
In this particular case, Joe, they had redeemed it or cashed it out. They actually cashed out the 401k.
All the taxes due in 1 year.
It's all due when you cash it out.
Now, question is this. Another one. This is another one. A 60-day wrinkle.
Ah, okay. So you have 60. I don't advise this, but I had a call this morning from some woman. Exactly what happened. She wanted to take money out,
right,
and move it. She didn't want to actually withdraw it for her own use. She wanted to just move it to someplace else. She didn't go what we call trustee, because then what that means is you never see the money.
Right.
It goes from one institution to another institution.
Right, right.
It protects you on this 60-day window.
Right.
What is the 60 days? The law says if you don't reinvest the money that you take out, not trustee to trustee, but you just withdraw the money.
Right.
You have 60 days
to put it into
another replacement IRA.
Exactly.
And if you don't put it in, then guess what?
Bam. It's all taxable.
It's all taxable. As soon as you do. So, and a lot of people don't realize it, and so they go over the 60 days.
Well,
they get a 1099 at the end of the year.
I've got numerous circumstances over the years where somebody leaves an employer and they have a 401k. Let's just say it's $100,000 in a 401k, and they're not taking distributions, and they don't want to take a distribution. The 401k says, people say, we will not transfer the money to whoever you say. We will only send you a check. And I tell them always, here's what you do. You tell them to make the check to the new trustee, and it's got to say on the check, for benefit of you.
Right.
So let's just say it was Dave, and what's your wife's first name?
Cynthia.
So Dave decides to die. And he leaves this 401k to Cynthia.
He decides?
And Cynthia gets this check. If she had talked to me, I'd say, you call that 401k people, and you say, you make the check out to XYZ, the bank, somebody, where you're going to establish this new IRA. It can be with a broker, with an insurance company, with a bank. There's a number of places it can go. But on the check, it would say, XYZ Bank, for benefit of Cynthia.
But that only gets you halfway home, Joe.
No.
Because you have to deposit the check into the new... seriously.
Yeah, you don't put it in the drawer.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Don't put it in the drawer.
No, because there's going to be reporting from the bank, from the people that sent the check made out to the bank. I mean, there's going to be multiple reporting to the computer system, and the IRS could come back and say, hey, wait a minute. You had this done on a certain date, but it didn't meet the criteria, and you say, oh, I forgot to deposit it. Tough. You now have a tax liability because you've only got 60 days to do it.
And there's another reason you want to do it trustee to trustee, Joe, because when you get that 1099
right.
from the institution you left,
right.
when they issue that 1099, they put a special code on that 1099 says it's a rollover.
Uh-huh.
It's a code G. And when you get that, it means it's a rollover, and the IRS assumes from that you rolled it over, because they wouldn't give you the code if they didn't give it to another.
Exactly.
So there, it kind of protects you there. If you get a normal 7 code, which says it's a normal distribution, well, then it's up to you to prove that you've actually deposited that and rolled it over in the 60-day window.
And that's a pretty big flag, I mean, when you get that 7, because the person that's sending the money, and you got that thing and you file it on your taxes and you tell your tax guy, no, I reinvested that. I think normally, Vince, wouldn't you say, who did you reinvest it with? Do you have a statement document? Yep. I can send it in with the return.
Right, exactly.
So
I have that exact case.
Yeah.
The other day, a woman called me.
Yep.
And she says she's been fighting with the brokerage firm because they won't change it. She said, but I reinvested. I said, no, they don't care about that.
No.
They gave you the money. They're going to report it as given to you. You have to prove that you reinvested it.
See what happens.
And rolled it over.
The key is this. If you don't do these things according to the rules, I mean, they're pretty clear.
Yeah.
Then you could have a taxable consequence, so you've got to prove. And I tell you, once I've got a couple of stories that are horrific, terrible stories because people didn't do it according to the rules, and it wasn't their fault. It was the sender's fault, the brokerage firm, but it was the goofiest one you've ever seen. She had a CD with a broker. She took the CD away from the broker and invested it with me or somebody. And I think it wasn't even with me. So the Internal Revenue comes back up and says after 3-4 years, they wanted tax on the 50 plus all the interest.
Really?
So I called up and I said, hey, she had a CD. She already was her CD. She'd already paid tax. All she has was the taxable event, which is a couple thousand. There's no. And the girl says, no, that's not true. And I said, yes, it is true. She goes, no, it's not. And I said, let me ask you a question. You ever had a CD? I'm talking to Internal Revenue. She goes, yeah. I said, if you had a $50,000 CV, your own money, there's no tax on that when you cash it in, right? And she goes, oh, yeah. And I said, but if there was interest, then there would be a taxable event, right? She goes, right. And I said, that's exactly what happened. She goes, I don't care. That's
not, I don't care.
That's not how it was reported. So I had to go back to the brokerage firm and get them to re-report it. And you know what ended up happening? The IRS finally says, okay, we'll settle for $1,500. Now, she did not owe the $1,500. But I said to her, I said, look, I have put 100 hours into this and not got paid a nickel. I'm here to help you. Pay her the $1,500. Let's get rid of them because we might put another 100 hours to save. Yeah. It just isn't worth it.
So if you're going to pay you or pay them, just pay them and get rid of it.
I mean, it was so ridiculous. But once you get on the bad side, they're looking for you. I mean, you got that mark.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I saw an interesting article, which I'm going to send to you, Joe, recently about, you know, even despite all these budget cuts, the IRS has not given up on compliance. So they're going after people.
Well, of course they are.
And even though the rate of audit is still very small, relatively speaking. But the fact that budget cuts came through didn't mean that what they're doing is they're cutting the extremities out. You know, they're cutting out operation money, cutting out their technical side of the business, but they're still going after the non-compliers. So watch out for that.
What we're here for, folks, all of us. Now remember this. Today we have Vince Rizzino, CPA, Joe Martek, financial advisor. If you want to talk about 401ks and rolling them over, you want to talk about an IRA, rolling it over, transferring it to one another, whether it's taxable or not taxable. In fact, I had a client recently says, Joe, I need $180,000 out of my accounts. He said, I got to buy this house. And I says, well, $40,000 of it's got to come out of an IRA. I said, now, if you can get me that money back within 60 days, we're going to avoid tax, even though you're going to get some stuff in the mail. But the bottom line is, this is what we have to be concerned about.
Right.
So the whole thing that we're here to do is to teach, advise, help. We have an attorney, Greg Fasula, CPA. A CPA.
Yeah, right. Greg, he might be a CPA, Greg Fasula, too.
And he's not. We have Greg Fasula.
By the way, you didn't go through the team today, Joe.
I'm trying to. Remember, I gave three of us now. Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Big word. Independent. Big word. Big word. Underneath Dan's umbrella is almost 100 different companies. And what happens is if one company falls out of favor, Dan's got other ones. And in my humble opinion, he is the, not too humble, he is the premier independent insurance agent on the Treasure Coast. Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, the hardest working person alive. Not in real estate, period. This girl has only two speeds. She's either working or sleeping. And she doesn't sleep much. She knows every street. She's a remarkable girl. Last but not least, Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, who's down in Mexico fishing, which really upsets me because I should be down there instead of him. He should be working.
He's a very knowledgeable guy and a businessman, not just an application taker, Joe.
He knows what's going on in that business, and he's there to counsel, too. He will help people. In 15 minutes, you talk to Mike on the phone. He'll let you know what you qualify for, if you can qualify. And if you have a problem, he'll say, here's what we can do to correct the problem. Might take 3 months, 6 months to correct it, but I will help you correct it.
And a shout out to Greg, because I had him do something for me personally last week. And Greg, thank you very much. You did a great job for us. And
Greg's just a flat good guy. 1-888-221-8990. We're out of time. You call the radio station anytime during the week. Pastor Tom, Dave, or Karen will take your name and number. We'll call you back. 1-888-221-8990. And until next week,
God bless you all.
Thank you so much for listening. Dave, say goodbye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Team Martek program. The Team Martek program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martek. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martek program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martek is available at 772-678-7725.